Tonight I'm going to invite you to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming to your house tonight and, Lord, expecting to hear from you because of your great faithfulness and your love for us. Lord, we ask the blessing on your word that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you and fill us with the Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord, into your truths and, Lord, to walk in them. So bless your word, bless your people, build Northwood, Lord, for your honor and glory and all your churches, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is simply The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at three truths tonight that God, I believe, wants his people to know concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. Really, that's what faith is all about. It's all about a revelation, right? It's a revealing of a certain truth that we weren't aware of before. And then we have that position again to choose to believe it or to not believe it. That's where it starts. So we hear this knowledge or the revelation or the word of God particularly, and then we have the opportunity to believe it or not believe it, but then we need to take it a step further, and that is we need to put our trust in it, right? That's a big difference. A lot of people, they hear the knowledge of the word of God. They may even believe it, but we know what the Bible says about believing. The devils believe, and they tremble. So the difference is putting our trust in the word of God and walking in that trust. Amen. That we believe you, Lord, and we're going to trust you in it, right? That means, Lord, you're going to hold us in this because we know if it's up to us, failure is on the horizon. Amen. We can't do the things of God, but God has promised to do them in each and every one of our lives as believers. So three truths concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. First of all, it's God's communication to his servants. Amen. This is how God works to his people. Then secondly, we'll notice God's grace and peace to his church. And the last thought is the importance of being spirit-filled. So back up with me here to verse 1, and let's look at God's communication to his servants. And as you look at this, I'm going to give you a little homework assignment, all right? We're going to look at this and understand what's being said here, but then you can investigate it and decide for yourself what's going on here. But notice what it says here in verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him." So here's the food for thought, all right? I'm not saying you have to, you research this. Who is the him? Well, God gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ to give to us. Well, why would he give it to him? Now, these are things that I really don't completely understand. If you have a better handle on it, please let me know. But of course, we know that only the Father knows the day and the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He's seen fit to do that. And this has to do with the end time events and what's going to take place. And so he revealed this to him to tell to John, right, the revelator. And so notice again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So this was communicated unto him. I'm telling you, you can research this. I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but it certainly appears that way. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in this particular case, the word angel means messenger. So the Lord himself carried this message to John the Revelator. And then notice what it says right here. Again, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God
and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So here is this communication. God is communicating to his servants and to us tonight, right? These are things that are not dated. These are things that are alive and well and coming to fruition even as we sit and worship the Lord tonight. These are end time events that God is going to see to it that are going to come to pass. And that I'm convinced that that prophecy has been given so that when they come to pass, not for us to predict the future or this is what's coming on the horizon, but when they come to pass, we can say it happened just as the Lord said it would happen, right? When the Lord said that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come through the birth of a young woman, a virgin. We knew when it took place, it was Mary. Amen. And so likewise also then Simeon also said, hey, listen, I'm ready to go home now. My eyes have seen the Savior, the Lord's Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so he also understood it when it came to pass. And I think you and I, as we see things, will understand also. And by the way, as we look back at what God has promised, we'll see also, listen, God fulfilled everything just as he said it would take place. Look, notice verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, that's a good thing, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So this is important. Let's look at this threefold revelation that God is giving to us here in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and this is important. So, but we need to take, listen, we don't, the blessing's not in just in the reading, amen? Have you ever read something and you read a page in a book, maybe even the Bible, and you stopped and you said, now what did I just read? For whatever reason, maybe you were distracted, you weren't tuned in. We could read pages of words, but God wants it to go a little bit further than that. So blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy. And remember, the Lord would at different times would ask people, how readest thou, right? How are you reading the word of God? And what he was saying is, how do you see it? But just because they saw it a certain way doesn't mean it was so, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have Sadducees who believed there was no resurrection. Now, obviously, they were misreading the word of God because he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. And so be careful not only to read, but notice, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and the most important part, this is the trust part, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we can read the word of God, we can hear the words of God, but the important part is to keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Because if we just do the first two parts and don't do the keeping, don't expect to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's not the way that it works. And by the way, we shouldn't be fearful in keeping those things, because we engage the Lord in the keeping of them. Because one thing I know in my life, I can't keep them unless the Lord is working through my life. So Lord, you enable me to keep your word. You enable me to walk in your word. And that's prayer, isn't it? We call upon the Lord and we say, Lord, I need you. Prayer is a humbling thing, because it's saying, I need something from you, God. And God honors that. God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. And so we want to be careful that we follow that threefold part there of reading the word of God, hearing the word of God, this prophecy specifically, and keeping those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So this is God's communication to his servants. And then secondly, we want to take note of God's grace and peace to his church. Look at verse 4. And notice what he says here, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. He says, grace be unto you, and peace, where? From him which is, and which was, and which is to come. That's our Savior. Amen? And from the seven spirits which are before his thrones. I won't even begin to attempt to tell you about that. We'll all see it together. Amen? We'll say, oh, that's what he was talking about. We know this for sure. There are seven spirits that are before his throne. I have no idea what they look like. I have no idea their function. I just know because it's in the Word of God. Mark it down. There are seven spirits before the throne of God. And then notice this here in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Isn't that good? What a salutation. This is what God wants for his church. And we know the church is the people of God. And so he is wanting that for your life and mine, and wanting us to be ready for his return. And by the way, let me ask you this question. If you knew, don't answer this one, okay? If you knew Jesus Christ was coming tonight, in the next hour, what would be running through your mind? Would you have any regrets? Would you have wished you could have done more for the Lord? Would you wished you would have prayed more? Would you wished you would have read the Word of God and engaged God more? Would you wished you would have told more people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's the great news. Ready? I don't know that he's coming back in the next hour, but let's seize the moment and let's take the opportunity that we have to make more time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be preeminent in our hearts and minds so that we have no regrets when we see him face to face, right? And by the way, prayer really is a spiritual muscle that needs to be exercised or it gets weak. We need to persevere in that, and sometimes there's just grueling work that's involved, but it's spiritual work, and God will bless it if we'll be faithful to call upon him. He will honor his children. So notice this here, what it says in verse 6. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's powerful. Wow. Look at the position that God is going to give us. Look at the position we have now as his children, as blood-bought children, and then the position that we have to look forward to here in the future. Again, here's God's grace and peace to his church and blessings that he's giving. He says, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Those that pierce him, they're gonna wail. If they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they're gonna, you know, this is God's moment, right? This is God's moment because they rejected the truth. Now there's a consequence. Now, of course, there's a consequence even for those that have gone on and have rejected the Lord. And I'm sorry about that. Verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Boy, now if you needed any verse there to prove that Jesus Christ is the God, is part of the Godhead, there it is right there. I mean, which is, which was, and which is to come, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we praise the Lord for that. And then the last thought here, and this is really the crux of the matter tonight that we want to look at, the importance of being in the Spirit or filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to see some things here that John is talking about, and I want you to think about this. Is he complaining or is he rejoicing? Remember, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Remember, they tried to, the history tells us that they tried to boil him and he wouldn't boil. They were persecuting him because why? Because he was a murderer? No. Because he was a thief? No. What for? Was he a lawbreaker? No. He was preaching the gospel. He was standing for the word of God, and they hated him. And so listen to the tone and tenor of his voice, and tell me, what do you think is his disposition? Because this is the same disposition that God wants us to have, and I don't think we've been boiled in oil. I don't think we've been persecuted for to any great degree anyway in preaching the word of God. Notice what he says, I, John, who am also your brother. Listen, he's being affectionate with, he is writing this knowing that it's going to be going to the seven churches, but also God put it in the canon of Scripture to reach our lives even tonight. So he says, I, John, by the way, who's also, he is our brother, is he not, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. That sounds like they're taking a trip somewhere, right? Somewhere fun. I will be your companion on this trip down tribulation lane. Amen. And I will listen, you are not going to suffer anything that is uncommon for the people of God. And God will give us the peace to go through that and even the rejoicing, because we are looking at everything now, right? Since we've been looking at the Word of God, God is working out how many things for our good and His glory? All things. So that means even the trip down tribulation lane, right? And so, Lord, remind us that when we go through that time of tribulation, Lord, that I don't blow it, that I'm not looking at myself and my situation, but that my life is yours. I've been blood bought. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of the King of Kings. I am a child of the King and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, Lord, you are worthy. So he says this, I, John, whom also am your brother, verse 9, and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience. See, we're taking this trip down tribulation lane. Now we're into the kingdom of patience. Isn't that something? See, listen, we're citizens of a different kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And in the process of being citizens in the kingdom of God, we are traveling down a tribulation alley, if you will, here. And then also, we are in going through the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, right, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Lord, I need you to show me how to rejoice. Listen to this, that you have bought me with your blood. What is it that the world could give you that you would exchange your salvation for? What pleasure, what joy for just a brief moment? In comparison to eternity, the Bible says it's a puff of smoke and it's gone. That's it. It's a vapor, right? It's here and it's gone. What would we exchange for to not follow the Lord Jesus Christ? So as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help me to keep my hand in yours when I go through tribulations and when I go through the kingdom of patience, that I would not let it go and start looking at myself and saying, woe is me and why me and whatever else we might say, right? And so as we keep this thought in mind, I want you to see what the Lord says. Let's put 9 and 10 together, and then we'll finish up in verse 11. But notice, he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I was in the what? And it's capitalized, so we definitely know it's the Holy Spirit. Do you know we cannot understand patience and tribulation without being in the Spirit? We can't. Because if we're not in the Spirit, what are we in? In the flesh. We're in ourselves. And I will guarantee you, listen, myself and my flesh never understood tribulation. I'll tell you this. I'll let you know a little secret. Myself and my flesh will never understand tribulation and trials. But the Spirit can. And the Spirit does. And the Spirit will enable us to see it coming from the Lord. So he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Let me ask you a question. Because he was in the Spirit, God showed him something. Do you think what John just saw here encouraged him in the Lord or discouraged him? It encouraged him, didn't it? Do you know that God knows that we need encouragement in the Lord? We need to be encouraged. Listen, God will encourage us to say, Lord, I trust you. I hear your word. I believe your word. And I trust your word. And so notice he says, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, verse 11, the first and the last. And notice, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Now, I want to stop right here and we're finished, but I want you to think about this. Do you think John the Revelator here, the Apostle John, do you think he was encouraged to say, you know, following God is worth it? When God showed up and gave him this revelation, and by the way, it was, listen to what revelation is. It was a truth yet not known to John. And did John believe that revelation? Question, did he trust the revelation, even though a lot of those events didn't happen in his lifetime, haven't happened yet, because they're true. As you and I study the Word of God, we also receive new revelation. Question, have you ever read something you said, wow, I've read that many times, but I never saw it like that before? That's a personal revelation. When you see that revelation, you have a choice to believe it, and then you have a choice to trust it. And as we walk in those things, those new revelations, God meets us there. And we say, this is coming from the Lord. And the Lord is doing this work. And you know what that brings? Rejoicing from God. Giving us the strength for the next battle. Amen? For the next trial. For the next temptation, that we would not turn away from the Lord, but to God, saying, come what may, we will trust who? God, we'll trust the Lord. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray your blessing as we break off for prayer. Lord, bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.